Thanks, JP. He's right. It's me. It's Saturday morning. I'm live on the air. It's good to be with you. If I look to the east, yeah, I can see a little bit of sunshine. If I look to the west, I see some clouds. This program is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. It's very good to be with you this Saturday morning. Hopefully, I can deliver some information that can help you understand your health. I know over the course of time, I have this natural inclination. Maybe I got it from my mom. But my inclination is toward any remedies or substance that's natural, that it could be God created or made, obviously. I remember this week a woman looked at me and she said, "What is this frozen cherry that you speaketh oveth?" And I said, "It's found in the frozen food section. It grows on a tree." She goes, "Really?" I goes, "Yes, it has nutrients that might actually help your kidneys function better. It might help reduce some of the inflammation that you have in your body." And of course, you know I'm making a little bit of a joke about that, but you've got to eat real food that God has made if you want your body to be strong and healthy. The other day, I started thinking about nutrients that are found in foods, and I thought to myself, you know, sometimes I make this so complicated, and people just need to understand basic things. So I thought this morning that I would spend a little bit of time talking about nutrient deficiencies, and so hopefully, if I say something in this examination of nutrition that kind of piques your interest, well, maybe you can apply it to your own life, because obviously you are the best advocate for your health. If you don't know what being an advocate means, that means if you have symptoms or you're sick, you need to take the bull by the horns and decide that you're going to be the best at taking care of yourself. And I realize there's many people, they have a complete system of family members and loved ones that would take care of them if they're sick, but you don't want to do that. A lady this week told me the reason that I exercise and my husband exercises and we eat right, it's for our kids, so they don't have to take care of us. I like that plan. I remember reading in a book years ago that all these miners that went to prospect for gold in the upper northwest, specifically Alaska and the Yukon Territory of Canada, they would become deathly ill and sick, and there was a very high death rate of infections. And they just became so fragile and weak that they couldn't continue mining for gold deep into the bowels of the earth. And one day, one of the miners asked all the Indians that lived in the area, he said, "Could you please tell me, what is your secret? What do y'all do differently than what we do?" And he said, "Well, I'm going to have to ask the chief of the tribe and get his permission if I can tell you." And since this particular miner had been very kind and generous to some of his Indian friends, the chief decided that he would explain to him or give him the secret information on how he could prevent a disease process called scurvy. That's when you start to bruise easily and you become extremely fatigued and your joints cannot hold themselves in alignment. They just sort of get loose and everything rattles and cracks and pops in your body. So the Indian came back and he told his miner friend or gold prospector friend, he says, "The chief says that since you've been good to us, we're going to tell you how we do this." And so any time that the Indians would kill a moose or a deer, buffalo, elk, fill in the blank, what they would do it immediately is they would open the flanks and they would remove the kidney, and the small gland that was just on top of the kidney is called the adrenal gland. And so if there were 24 people in the hunting party, they would take one of the adrenal glands and they would cut it up with a knife into 24 pieces, and each person would eat a part of it or eat their share. And that was their secret, because vitamin C is hugely concentrated in the adrenal gland, and they sit just atop of the kidneys. So I know that today when you walk into the store and you say, "You know what, I've heard that vitamin C is very good for infections," which is true, it is. As long as you have vitamin C in reserve, your body can continue to fight the infection, or your body continues to make repairs, which is a process that takes place millions of times a split second. You need to have your body have this great ability to make repairs or to fight infection. And you can, as long as you have vitamin C. Almost every living thing on the planet makes all the vitamin C they need. If you're a goat, you make everything that you need. But human beings, we lack that specific gene that manufactures vitamin C. So the truth is, we have to get it from the food that we eat. So if you eat a kiwi or an orange or a lemon or an apple or a cherry, you're getting the vitamin C from the plant. And so you're providing your body with the very thing it needs to stay in great working order. But if you walk into a store, you may read the term ascorbic acid, or you might find on the label it says buffered vitamin C, which that could be a calcium ascorbate, or like sodium ascorbate, where they take a mineral and bind it with vitamin C to make it more alkaline in effect, as opposed to more acidic. And there's even a fat-soluble form that's called ascorbyl palmitate. So what are the basic symptoms that a person would experience if they're low in vitamin C? Well, number one at the top of the list, it's going to be fatigue. Now, that fatigue could be because a person's anemic. I think you've heard me say about 10 million times that anemia is the deal breaker. Because if you're anemic, it is hard to get the body to rise to the occasion and heal, because without life-sustaining blood. You know what it says, like in Leviticus 17, the life is in the blood, right? That's totally true. And so without vitamin C, it's hard for your body to absorb and assimilate adequate amounts of iron. The other day a man asked me, he said, what do you do about restless leg? And I said, well, that's an oxygen issue. He said, oxygen? Okay. Well, in a roundabout way, you could have restless leg syndrome just because your body has very insufficient amounts of that water-soluble vitamin called vitamin C. And so iron is your ability, you know, through the molecule called hemoglobin, to transport life-sustaining oxygen to all the cells and tissues of the body. And so you got to have vitamin C to be able to make that work. There may be a case this morning for feeding your kids fruit instead of Fruit Loops. And so if they need a snack, how about we give them a bowl of cherries or blueberries or a kiwi or something like that. So one of the number one symptoms that you have if you're low in vitamin C is just fatigue. You do not have the energy that you would like to have. Other ones, irritability. You probably think I'm making that up. No, I'm not. When individuals are low in vitamin C, they tend to become very irritable. I know what you're doing right now. You're looking at two or three people at the breakfast table right now and you're going, I wonder if you might be a little low in vitamin C. Well, without vitamin C, you are most vulnerable to infections. All the talk about the mask and the hand sanitizers and social distancing, I personally think they will probably end up paling in comparison to the very nutrients that you by need to make yourself strong. I know it's not a popular topic, but we need to talk about it. What do you do to help your immune system function? Well, vitamin C is one of them. I don't know if you knew this or not, but it's very common to experience an aneurysm in somebody that smokes cigarettes. Well, obviously, my point is smoking cigarettes depletes the body of vitamin C. It just sucks the stuff out of you, or it burns through the vitamin C that you have at a faster rate. No pun intended. And so it's very common for people to have what are called aneurysms, like a bulging weak patch in the artery where it just kind of balloons or bubbles out. That ain't good. But that happens when you're low in vitamin C. All I'm suggesting is if you give your body the very thing it needs, then you should have some confidence because of God's great, elegant, sophisticated design that the body will be able to heal itself. I don't know if you knew this or not, but there's a very high correlation between people that develop gallstones and vitamin C, meaning if you have plenty of vitamin C, it's a heck of a lot harder for gallstones to form in your liver or your bile ducts or your gallbladder. So maybe you should consider that if you've had a history of gallstones, maybe this really means that you're getting inadequate representation of that vitamin called vitamin C within the tissues of your body. So how do you remedy that? Well, obviously, I'm going to try to talk you into eating foods that have vitamin C. And if you need it, take supplemental vitamin C. I think that would be a very good investment. Do you want to protect your investments financially as you age? Well, it will all be gone. You will go through all your retirement savings if you get sick. I don't know if you knew this, but the number one cause of bankruptcy above the age of 55 is medical bills that a person cannot afford or cannot be paid. So the bottom line is when you're low in vitamin C, it's very common to have weak capillaries. That's the smallest blood vessel. They have a very thin wall. They start, the glue that holds them together is based on vitamin C, so they start to break apart. So what would you experience? Your gums bleed easily. For someone that has eye trouble, it's very common for bleeding to take place along the retina of the back of the eye. To me, that's some of the best news of all time. If a person's been diagnosed with wet macular degeneration, you know, the kind that requires the shots into the eye, I would not fault a person for not wanting to get a shot in their eye. If I saw a needle coming toward my eyeball, oh boy, that would be rough. Haven't experienced that, though. But you're more prone to bleeding when you're low in vitamin C. Your skin bruises very easily. Somebody says, what happened to you? Did a wolf attack you? And you go, no. I have no idea where that came from. Maybe I bumped into a piece of furniture. But literally, you can get these burst blood vessels on the back of the hand, which, if your church is still open tomorrow, of course, you know in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, do not forsake the assembling of the saints, as the habit of some is. So I think that in modern times, that could be reinterpreted as we just won't come to church for a virus, you know, whatever you want to say. Anyway, you already know how I feel about that. I think it's wrong to forsake the assembling of the saints. But there's plenty of churches that have no problem doing that. So, when you're at church, you can shake hands with people, unless you're scared to touch them. In that case, maybe you can do a fist bump or an elbow bump, or nothing at all. But you can look on the back of their arm, and you can see these purple blotches and bruises. Well, that's blood vessels leaking. Most likely, they could be on some type of a blood-thinning agent, which causes the capillaries just to leak and break easily. Well, but I am telling you straight up, you must have vitamin C if you want to have longevity of your arteries. Another piece of research that I've uncovered is a person is so much more prone to having hemorrhoids form and varicose veins and spider veins when they're low in vitamin C. But that stands to reason. Now, another thing that I looked up, when someone is walking and they complain of pain in their legs or their feet burn or they tingle or they're numb, well, that might be called a neuropathy. Well, what do you do to get the body in good working order? Well, you've got to provide it with the basic building blocks and the nutrients that it needs. And the good news is, this stuff is from nature. You could grow it in a pot in the backyard if you wanted to. It could be called kale, or maybe it could be called broccoli. But it provides vitamin C. But individuals are so much more prone to neuropathy of any kind when they're low in vitamin C. So just help yourself. I think I mentioned earlier that smoking cigarettes depletes the body of vitamin C. I know if you look under the Guinness Book of World Records for a four-year-old purchasing cigarettes, you will see my picture in there because I think, what year was it? 1968? Yes, I purchased more cigarettes than anybody else because it was my job to take those three quarters or four quarters, go into the pit grill, put them in the slot machine, and pull the lever for the Camels without filters. Okay, you know I'm sort of joking, but that's true, though. Anyway, so if you were to start the process of saying, you know what, I need to change what I'm doing if I'm going to have great health. So you need to have the long play here. you can't just think about what your health is going to be like today. You got to think about what it's going to be like tomorrow and 2 months from now. And so if you don't have a goal to improve your health, if you're not actively working at trying to get better, then most likely your body's going to go the other direction. So if you want your body to be in the mode of healing, you might want to consider giving it some vitamin C. Now, I am obviously a fan of whole food vitamin C. And there are some companies that they extract the vitamin C complexes from things like oranges or other mysterious fruits. I was talking to, I won't use his name on the radio, but we were talking about pomegranates. And the conversation kind of went in the direction of, King Solomon, when he had the goldsmiths construct 200 golden images of pomegranates on a golden chain, and that was hung in the temple of the Lord that he constructed. I don't know what the complete total meaning of that is, but you might want to sit up and take notice and say, oh, pomegranates, what's that all about? Well, I think I've told you before in the past that, and if you don't remember this, it's just fresh on my mind, they did a study of people that had, or men that had heart attacks, and they wanted to find out, all these men have had about the same type of heart attack. We're going to give some of them pomegranate juice and see what happens. Well, guess what? They were released from the hospital 40% sooner, quicker, faster, as opposed to those that did not have the pomegranate juice. So you tell me, if you had a heart attack, would you rather focus on rejuvenation and rebuilding of tissues and healing and repair? Or would you rather just be stuck in a hospital? Well, I think I told you last week that I've had exactly 5 of my personal patients that have tested positive for the coronavirus, or COVID-19, if you prefer to call it that. It's all good. And just asking them simple questions, they all have the same thing in common. They have all had some contact with the hospital, whether that's in the form of just being there because of work or employment, or they had to go visit a loved one that had just had a surgery, or they had gone to the emergency room, but they all have the same thing in common. I think I need to say this one more time. If you do not want to get sick, do not go to the hospital. Don't hang out by the hospital. Don't spend time in the hospital. I know it's fun to go hand out cookies in the ER, but don't do it. Sometimes you just have to pull back and decide it is not worth a mega dose of droplets of sneezes and coughs and just fill in the blank. I'm just not going to do it. Just like I wouldn't walk up to a stranger at Walmart and greet him with a holy kiss, even though that could have been the proper thing to do back 2,000 years ago. But I wouldn't recommend it now. Anyway, so that's vitamin C. There's a vitamin called vitamin B1. Vitamin B1 is actually very large, water-soluble. You can get it in the fat-soluble form. The fat-soluble form is called benfotiamine, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. So what would a person experience if they had low levels of B1? Well, their hair turns gray. They are so much more prone to having irritable bowel or bowel problems. It's very common for women and men to experience an autoimmune-associated condition known as fibromyalgia. No, I have not experienced fibromyalgia. I think I've seen a little over 1,000 people in the last 32 years that have had fibromyalgia. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. I wouldn't want my muscles to be constantly inflamed and to express pain and to be utterly exhausted. No. But it's very common with low levels of vitamin B1 to experience fibromyalgia. Also, you get neuropathies, just like I talked about earlier. All these individuals that have numbness and tingling and burning and pins and needles and weird sensations in their feet and their legs, and they don't feel right, and there's a sock bunched up under their foot when there's not really a sock under their foot. Well, that would be a neuropathy. Well, that is more common when you're low in B1. It's very common to have an irregular heartbeat or even heart failure when you're low in B1, which technically, if somebody walked in my door and they said, I've got congestive heart failure, well, I'm going to do everything within my power to convince them to probably consume some extracts from calf heart. Yes, you heard me correctly. So when a calf goes to the slaughterhouse or the processing facility, there are some companies that actually compress the dehydrated calf heart with its proteomorphogens into a food tablet form. And guess what happens when you consume that? You can chew it up if you like, you can suck on it if you like, or you can just swallow it. The net result is, it tells your heart, why don't we heal? Why don't we get stronger and better? I love nothing more than to see heart failure and congestive heart failure disappear and go away. So if your ejection fraction is at 19%, well, you have heart failure. And if we do the right things and all of a sudden you go back to the cardiologist and they say, whoa, what are you doing here, sonny boy? Your ejection fraction is 58%. You're out of heart failure. And you go, well, it may be that guy on the radio talked to me about consuming vitamin B1 from heart muscle extract. I've even heard of people very simply going to their butcher or to the meat market and saying, I would like to order a calf heart because I plan on taking the cast iron skillet with some type of delicious lard called butter, and I'm going to sear it and cook it, and then I'm going to make a stew out of it, and my family's going to eat it. And I may not even tell them it comes from calf heart until after they're through eating it. Anyway, drinking alcohol on any level, so too much wine, can cause a depletion of vitamin B1. Drinking coffee and tea and eating refined sugar, this tremendously depletes the body of vitamin B1. Well, what would you experience if you were low in vitamin B12, which technically, I'm not into arguing because it doesn't really do anything other than just waste your energy and your time, but there have been many people over the years that have wanted to argue the idea that you get plenty of vitamin B12 from eating alfalfa sprouts. Well, that's probably not really living in reality, so not that I'm arguing. You get vitamin B12 when you eat animal protein. It has just about everything that you need to repair the body with. So vitamin B12 is by and large an animal product. Well, what are the common symptoms of being low in vitamin B12? Well, you have short-term memory loss. And don't tell me that's like everybody above the age of 40. Not everyone above the age of 40 has memory loss. It is possible that you could notice that some aspects or the edge of your tongue is a little bit more sore and your attention's drawn to your tongue and you go, why is my tongue sore? You know, that feels a little bit tender. Well, that's a classic sign of a B12 deficiency. It's also, I know, I sound like a broken record here, the feet, the soles of your feet almost feel like they're on fire or they're burning when you're low in B12. Now, the next thing is, I had a lady tell me this week, because I'm always wanting to get some good feedback from them, I said, well, tell me about your back. She said, you know, the most bizarre thing, since you found that I was allergic to wheat and I stopped eating it, all the pain in my back has completely disappeared and gone away. And I said, well, hadn't you gone for over the years for, you know, 35 chiropractic adjustments and a massage a week? She goes, yeah. But once I stopped eating the wheat, that's what addressed my problem. Now, my sales pitch to you is, if a person's low in B12, maybe one consideration might be, what if you're doing something that's blocking its absorption? And that is one plausible explanation. That if you have an allergy or wheat generates inflammation in your gut, well, guess what the net result is? It might block your absorption of vitamin B12, and the net result could be your feet are burning. So all this is solvable if you're willing to dive deep and look at yourself in the mirror and figure out, what am I doing wrong? Would you believe me if I told you that fatigue is one of the most common side effects of being low in B12? Also a chronic cough. It's been documented scientifically that when someone bends over and they get down low to the ground like they're digging around the lower kitchen cabinet for a crescent wrench, and they stand up and they're dizzy, or they sit for a while. Actually, I think the study that I looked at says people that sit for a while and they get dizzy when they stand up, That's actually a very classic symptom of being low in vitamin B12. Now, where would you get B12 from? Well, probably the biggest source is calf liver. I'm sure that appeals to everyone listening. I think a lady told me the other day that when they go fishing for catfish on the Brazos River, that is their number one bait to entice the catfish. It works better than anything else that they've tried. And so if you're low in B12, yes, your feet can burn and you can be dizzy when you stand up, exhausted, and your mind is not as sharp as what it should be. Now, just for your information, there are two vitamins or two nutrients. One is called vitamin D3. Sometimes that's called cholecalciferol. That's the active form of it. Now, vitamin D, that's a fat-soluble vitamin. Now, on the flip side of the coin, we have those that are water-soluble. That is vitamin B12. Well, those two nutrients right there, they play such an intimate role in maintaining the integrity of your musculoskeletal system that, bingo, if you're low in either one of those, that's when your body starts to atrophy. Do you know what atrophy means? So normally, if your brain weighed exactly 3 pounds, and they do an MRI, and they say, whoops, something's going wrong here, your brain all of a sudden is 2.25 pounds. I can pretty much assure you, in case you've already figured it out, which I know you have, it's not good to have your brain shrink. Just like it's not good to have your bones to shrink. That would promote a fracture. It's not good to have your muscles to atrophy and to shrink. But vitamin B12 and vitamin D, they play such a huge role in that, that they know that as a person ages, they literally start to lose their balance. And they tend to fall more frequently when they're low in vitamin D or B12. Now, in my fantasy world, every person that is aging and you get to a certain age where you start to lose your strength, that is your signal to start fighting and raging against the dying of the night. Do not go gentle into that good night. And so you've got to eat the very thing that gives your body muscular strength. That's called animal protein. Yes, there may be some vegetarians that can extract protein better than others. Good for them. I am not one of those people. And so if you want to, so if all the water has been taken from your body, which we're not going to do that, you're supposed to be 70% water, right? But the main thing that you're made of is amino acids and then fatty acids. The very thing that you're made of is what you should give yourself. How do you get B12? You get it from eating amino acid, animal protein. That could be called tuna fish, flounder, halibut, haddock. It could be chicken. It could be chicken breast. It could be chicken wings. It could be chicken thighs. It could be the pulley bone. But that's how you get B12. And so as you age, you will shrink and atrophy if you start becoming low in B12 or vitamin D3. And so sometimes they're called the balance vitamins, meaning the more muscle and the better it works on your body. That's usually when you have better vitamin B12 intake and assimilation and utilization than compared to somebody that doesn't. Do you know what the number one physical, besides a lab test, I think I've told you before, the highest number of death rate of the COVID-19 are those that test positive for tuberculosis. Sometimes that's called TB for short. You want to wreck your immune system? Tuberculosis will do it, baby. You don't want that. What you want is you want to be healed. If you have tuberculosis, you better start using your energy. What can I do to help feed and nourish my immune system and take care of my body in such a way to where my body can actually have the immune system rise to the occasion and go find out where the TB is in the lungs, kick it out, bee it up, blow it up, destroy it, eat it, poop it out, whatever your immune system has to do to get rid of it. But that's a concept that's probably not talked about very much. What does it take to get you stronger where your immune system can do its job? Well, you got to have vitamin C and vitamin B1 and B12 and vitamin D3. So your immune system literally becomes weaker, and you are so much more prone to infections when you're low in vitamin D3. So you've heard me say before that the two most common physical symptoms of low vitamin D are going to be fatigue that just doesn't go away. It never clears up. And then you have aches and pains that just never clear up. You always hurt. You got inflammation. Well, my point besides TB was, what is the number one group of individuals that are dying from the COVID-19? Well, it's those that have too little muscle on their body. And so if a man weighed 250 pounds and he came down with COVID-19, he's going to be just fine, most likely, because he's got plenty of muscle mass in reserve. And so for him, if he's really sick in the hospital and he's having a rough go of it, well, guess what his immune system does? It says, okay, we're going to go to all the amino acids in the body to fight this infection. That's going to be our source of fuel and energy. That's called your muscles. And so if he sheds 30 pounds of muscles, but he survives the COVID-19, okay, well, he can grow that muscle back. Let's just say he's a bricklayer or does construction for a living and he needs that muscle, or he works on a farm. Well, he can grow it all back just through labor and eating foods that rebuild the muscle mass. But if you're 87 pounds or you're 90 pounds and you come down with an infection, it's going to be so devastating to you because you have nothing in your reserves to draw upon. Does that make sense? When you're low in vitamin D, you'll probably have about the highest number of cavities. You get such a tremendous loss of your muscle mass or your muscle tone. So what does that equate in the real world? It's your balance. So when someone becomes low in vitamin D, you can't say that you haven't heard this before because you're hearing it right now. They are going to fall and lose their balance. And I realize this is very disconcerting because once a person kind of reaches that critical mass point, when they lose enough muscle mass and they become weak, it is literally a major uphill battle to get them to do enough activities to build that muscle back. It's doable, but man, have they got to give it a royal effort. I don't think it can be the good old college try. I think it has to be more than that. Literally, if a person is very underweight and they've lost their muscle mass and they're falling and they've lost their memory, or their memory's not so hot, it may take easily an hour and a half a day, maybe 2 hours, of specific exercises and activities to restore that. And it may be that for breakfast they have to have a ribeye steak or 4 to 6 ounces of a chicken breast. If you do not hit that protein threshold in the morning, I know it's extremely popular to eat donuts and Pop-Tarts for breakfast, but that ain't going to do anything except make you sick. It's going to throw your hormones out of balance, and you're going to be prone to low energy and probably obesity and diabetes one day. But if you have lost a lot of your strength, maybe you should consider eating some form of a high protein breakfast to see if we can start to change and turn your fortunes around for the better. I'm just like you. I don't want any of my loved ones to become weak way ahead of their time. A man approached me in church last Sunday, and he was talking about a 55-year-old man that is really suffering badly from the COVID-19. And I said, well, what's his story? And he says, well, he's abused his body for 55 years. I'm going, well, that is a habit and a pattern that's going to be hard to break out of, but it can be done. So you will be known by your thoughts and your habits and your attitudes and whatever you do habitually. So if you don't exercise every day, well, you're asking to lose your muscle mass way sooner than what you should. I think I've had about 42 million people try to call and get on the radio, so maybe I should start answering a few phone calls. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Can you hear me?
I can, yes. Thanks for turning your radio off.
Yes, sir. Hey, I've got a cure for the coronavirus.
Oh, my goodness. I got my pen handy right now. Tell me what it is.
Okay, here it goes.
Okay.
You know that song?
Vaguely. What is it?
What can wash away?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Yes, sir. That's it.
What can make me whole? That's great.
Yeah, I had to start playing the harmonica when I was down there with you in Pasadena as a kid, you know.
Well, you know, I used to sit on my porch and I would say, where's that harmonica coming from? It's like it's drifting over the canals. It's kind of that the harmonica was between the smog and the heat waves coming off the ground in Pasadena.
And the mosquito fogger.
And the mosquito fogger, which when the mosquito fogging truck would come down the road, I would run the other direction as fast as possible.
We used to ride our bicycles in it and get sprayed with it.
See, that's what's wrong with you right now.
That's what one guy told me. I should glow in the dark.
Now, I need to ask you a personal question.
Okay.
When a famous music artist is trying to compile his 10 tracks of new songs so he can have a platinum record, do they call you for the harmonica parts? Tell me the truth.
What? One guy did. I walked in a restaurant one day, and I do it 99% of the time. I was playing my harmonica. He said, hey, come over and sit at our table. Come to find out, he had just moved from Alaska.
No way.
Yeah, and he said, I want you to play the part for the harmonica. I'm a musician.
And what'd you say?
I said, okay, I'll do it. So,
did he offer you $10,000 an hour because of your expertise?
No, but I became good friends with that family, and they had lived out in the bush like I did and worked at gold mines and went out and picked, when I would be working at gold mines up in the hills of Alaska, I'd go out and pick rose hips and blueberries and low and high bush cranberries, gooseberries, and drink chamomile teal and eat moose meat and all the good things, salmon and everything, you know, that's the way I live.
You know, I really don't even like you right now. You just totally disgust me on every level.
Okay.
Wait a second. Is that the 10th commandment? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's gooseberries?
That's what the Bible says. Okay. Provoke one another to goodness, something like that. Anyway.
Oh, so that's the answer and the remedy and the cure. Okay, you're right.
Yes, sir. I've run three marathons in Alaska. The Equinox Marathon, it comes up in the fall coming up.
What's the average temperature when you run the race?
When I left Texas, you know, it was in the heat of August. When I got up there and I ran that race, I thought I was going to be in good shape because I had been running for years down here. Well, when I got up to top the Ullerhaven, when it leaves Fairbanks and goes up, the University of Alaska goes up to the top. It was snowing a little bit, and I was miserable because I was not in condition. And a lady at one of the water stations, one of the gals, says, you want to borrow my buckskin mittens? Your hands look terrible. I look like a
cowboy. I guess so.
I finished the race. That was because she loaned me those mittens. I was fixing to drop out because I was miserable, but that's what kept me going. But
how many times in your life have you been in a situation like that where you say, this is horrible, I cannot make it, but you just pushed through it and made it?
Dr. Morgan, that was one of the points I wanted to bring up about running marathons. You can learn to do things that you cannot think you can do, because in your worst times of depression, you think back to that marathon when you hit the wall and you think, oh, I can go through this. I can get through this. Remember when you couldn't take another step and you finished that marathon? But, you know, the running, and I've started training again to run that marathon again. I want to do it this autumn. But I'm having a little trouble with my hips, just a little bit, so I need to find something to kind of give me a little conditioning, because it's hard to get back in shape again. So if you got any recommendations for the hip.
Well, yeah, you can go on YouTube and just type in how to fix hip problems. And that way you can start doing the stretches and the exercises to correct the hip imbalance.
Yeah. One lady told me to get this Arctic cod liver oil that she gets.
Oh, and listen, that's a good call. That's one component. But if you have, if your hips are not cooperating, most
they're not bad. They're not chronic. They're just a little bit, and I'm trying to train where I don't overdo it.
This is the best time to take care of this. You've got to go to somebody that can find out what the glitch is and what's not working right. I had a woman come see me yesterday from, if I say Belton, that's close enough. I think that's where she teaches at the university. Hey, let me talk about this. I saw a college professor yesterday. I knew I was in the presence of a great genius. But she was just telling me for years her hip and her back has hurt. And she was explaining how she went to a chiropractor and it helped, you know, but as soon as the adjustment stopped, all the problems came back. And when I examined her, I told her, I said, here's what we got to do here. We got to find out exactly what's not working right. So I went through everything that I could find. I'm not sure she liked what I told her, but this is what I found out. On the right hip inside the pelvic floor, her internal rotator muscle was very weak. It wasn't firing properly. And when I would touch it, she would literally scream. And then everything else was fine. So we started on the process of trying to figure out what's going to help fix this, and that's the recommendations I gave her. And she said, is there any chance that anything that I'm eating is disturbing me? So I went through every substance I could think of, but there was one substance that she tested that was wrecking her hips. Guess what it was? It begins with the letter S.
Wasn't wheat.
No. It's S-U-G-A-R.
Sugar.
Yeah, and so she looked at me and rolled her eyes. She said, okay, I'll just have raw honey now. I'm going, good girl. But anyway, but in her case, that's precisely her problem, is she had a hip rotator and a pelvic floor muscle that wasn't doing its job. And so when she would try to run or do jumping jacks or jump, it's going to wreck her. And so if you have something similar to that, you've got to run straight toward and attack what your weakness is. And so your hips aren't horrible, but let's take care of them. So cod liver oil is a good choice. Vitamin K2, in your case, might end up being a really, really good choice, because when a person is low in the fat-soluble vitamin K2, it's extremely common for their hips to ache and not work right. So that's a little tidbit of information for you.
Yeah, that's very valuable, because I know that's one of the things I have curtailed, eating a whole lot of sugar, and I could curtail it some more too. So that's a good suggestion.
I don't know if you know this about me, but right now I've had a severe deficiency of moose meat and gooseberries. Could you bring some by the radio station next Saturday for me?
Well, I'm serious as a heart attack. If you think you might want to go to Alaska with me this autumn and run the Equinox Marathon, I'll invite you to take a road trip with me.
Is that what you're planning on doing?
I'm looking for somebody. I've been acquiring, see if anybody interested going in a road trip to Alaska. Because, you know, I lived up there in the bush for 20 years, and I can show them the real Alaska, and I'm serious. I'd take somebody with me to go.
Would I be rude if I asked how old you are?
I'm 73.
Are you in training right now for this Equinox Marathon?
Yes, sir. I run down this. I got one of the most beautiful canopy lanes beside my home here that I run to the end and back.
Oh, how nice.
And I've started training for that marathon.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Yeah,
and
sure.
This could be a little delicate, and you don't have to answer it if you want to, but when you're out there in the wilderness and you're running, does it help speed you up if there's wolves hot on your tail?
You know what? The wild hogs is something I'm seeing pretty regularly now.
Mm-hmm.
And I never knew it when I left here because it wasn't a problem. But when I came back, when we were over at the Pleasant Hills Children's Home, his house parents, my wife and me, I was out hunting one day, and I just barely wounded one. And I looked around, and that thing was going to come at me. Well, I didn't know they were as aggressive as they are. And I took a chance because there weren't any trees I could get up. But those things are very, very aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And not the wolves here, you know, but there in Alaska, we encounter them every now and then. We'd be out running our dog team. And sometimes they wouldn't attack us, but boy, they make you a little bit unnerving.
How smart is a wolf?
You know what? A moose is stupid. He'll run down the same pack trail that you're running your snow machine or he doesn't want to get off that hard pack trail because that's where the wolves take them out, over in that deep snow. And the wolves, they'll encounter you. They'll watch you. And they'll make predictions where they don't have to encounter you.
Oh, they've studied you many times, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah, they're real intelligent. I never get tired of watching animals, but that's what they do is they...
Do you know what the number one job of the bishops or the elders from church is? Is to protect the flock from who?
From the wolves.
That's right.
In sheep clothing.
And there's plenty of them.
Yes, sir.
Well, I've really enjoyed visiting with you. I wish you the very best in your training. I cannot wait to hear how it works out for you. And thanks for the kind invitation.
Thank you, too. And if anybody's interested in a road trip, I'm considerably talking to anybody right now. So this is Orban from Van, Texas. And happy trails till we meet again.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, if you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open at 903-586-5257. I'll get you right in. Have you ever heard before that one of the signs of a magnesium deficiency is that you just really crave chocolate? Well, that's true. And yes, there is magnesium found in chocolate. I'm sure if I could convince everyone to get their magnesium by eating chocolate, I would have nearly 100% compliance. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Dr. Morgan.
Yes, sir.
Do you know of anything that can help cataracts?
Well, depending on the severity, if it's a mild cataract, there is an amino acid called carnosine, and you can get these carnosine drops. It's called Can-C. It's an ophthalmic drop that you can purchase like on Amazon or other websites. But for the mild cataracts, it can help dissolve them and correct them. But cataracts...
I'm sorry. What's it called again?
It's spelled Can-C. So it's a capital C-A-N, like you're spelling the name of the can. And then there's a dash and then a capital letter C. So it's called Can-C.
Can-C.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But when the lens begins to oxidize... or rust, that's when you have a cataract.
I have taken some vitamins that I ordered a little over a year ago. I took them for about a year. I got off of them three times because I felt like I was getting dizzy spells from them. But anyway, then finally I took them up. But I have since then, I guess they put my name out, you know, and I've gotten about 30 things about, you know, what can cure macular degeneration and all that, but not a one of them say they could cure cataracts. But this doctor, Manhattan doctor, now has supposedly got a video up saying that he can do it. I won't say his name. His first name is Fred. You probably know who I'm talking about. Anyway, he claims some golden whatever, you know, can do it, along with a lot of other things, of course.
Maybe what anyway, he means is he can put gold in his bank account if you buy his product. No, in cataracts, all jokes aside, when the lens of the eye starts to rust and oxidize, I'm just being very, very straight with you. Once it reaches a certain point, it kind of passes the point of no return. So
right.
Not that long ago, maybe 2 years, I was looking in the eye of a man that was probably... well, I won't say his age, but anyway, to make a long story short, it looked like somebody had put a cotton ball in his lens. There's no way he could see through that lens. Impossible. And so once it reaches that point, it's going to be, if you want to see again, it's probably going to be a lens replacement from an ophthalmologist.
I have a
an
friend.
Eye
doctor. Yeah, I have a friend in well, I shouldn't say the town, I guess, but anyway, in Central Texas, who his cataracts are so bad, mine are getting, you know, I've had mine for, I don't know, 7, 8 years maybe.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But his are so bad that he has to have everything right up at his eyes to even read it, things like that, and well,
he probably needs to just get them replaced. I know that's not what he wants to
do. Yeah, but well, I mean, he's a veteran, and so they've been telling him that, you know, but he said, I don't want them operating on my eyes.
Well, I can't fault him for that, but, you know, if I asked you right now, out of all the senses you have, hearing, taste, vision, smell, touch, which one of those do you not want to lose?
I heard of a man who lost his hearing, lost his sight, and then he lost his hearing, and they asked him, what bothers you the most? Which one? He said, well, actually, my hearing, because that closed me off from the rest of the world. In other words, hearing people talk or whatever. But anyway, either one would be so horrible. No one would want to.
You're right, and that's what my mother would say. If she had to lose one of her senses, it would not want to be hearing, because that way she could hear music.
Yeah. Anyway, so now you say I can get, what about a health food store? Can I get this at a health food store?
Well, you're going to have to ask. I don't know the answer to that, but I just know you can order it online. But if you call a health food store and say, this is the product I'm looking for the canned sea drops. Now, one thing just to give you some encouragement, I don't want to be guilty of like promising you the moon and the stars when I can't deliver, but I'm just going to say from my experience, there's several things that are very, very good at helping to prevent cataracts or keep them from getting worse. I'd say vitamin C is one of those things. The mineral zinc is another one. I have been
vitamin C, mineral zinc.
Zinc, Z-I-N-C. And then it's called wheat germ oil. Have you ever heard of wheat germ oil?
Well, I take wheat germ and my budweed treatment.
Well, then you're probably going to be getting some wheat germ oil from your wheat germ. But wheat germ oil, it has this tremendous ability to help keep the eyes in good working order.
Okay.
I can tell you what's bad for the eyes. I hear that smoking cigarettes and drinking lots of alcohol is not really good for the eyes. Would you
never done either one of those. Ever.
You're a rare man. How old are you going to be on your next birthday?
Well, now I'm 77.
What do you do for fun? Or
hobbies? Try to learn about, read my Bible and try to learn about good health practices.
You're a smart man. You're using your time wisely to get continuously better.
I have a friend that was just fussing at me like crazy yesterday for doing that very thing.
What? Oh, they wanted to bring you down to their level of not reading the Bible and not studying?
Well, no. The poor lady has fatigue. She can't. And what you were saying earlier about fatigue and all that, about the B vitamins and
well,
the caffeine
oil.
Why
was she fussing at you for?
Because she said, you're not going to live forever. I said, I know, but I just want to have a better quality of what time God gives me.
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, you remember what the Apostle Paul says. I keep pressing on. Not that I've arrived. I want to know more about Christ and his suffering. I mean, you get the idea when you read the Bible that you're supposed to continually improve and gain knowledge and wisdom and get better, right?
I didn't start reading the Bible till I was 67. I mean, trying to read it all the way through.
Really?
Till I was 67 years old, and I've only read it 7 times. But each time I read it, my problem is retaining enough, you get insights every single time you read the Bible through. You'll get insights.
I bet you anything, the lady that made the comment, I'm not picking on her. She does exactly what she wants to please herself, because in America today, do you know what the top religion is? Well, it ain't Christianity. It's called the religion of comfort and entertainment. And people bow down at the altar of entertainment. I read the other day that the average man watches 6 hours of TV a day. Now, there's something wrong with that picture, isn't there?
She grew up on a tractor with her father, and she's one of the hardest working persons I've ever seen in my life. She's probably one of the strongest women I've ever seen in my life.
So what does she do for to take
care of herself. She has heart trouble, and she works in her garden continually.
Well, that's all good. All that's excellent.
But she, the things you were saying about, I don't have my, I can't see, find it in my notes right now, but about irritability and weakness, and well, don't understand why she's so weak. I've been trying
to
get
her
to listen to your podcast with me, and I can't get her to do it.
If you study health and nutrition, that is your ticket to being able to study the Word of God very aggressively, correct?
Right.
And so in her, this is not a diabolical plot against her, but if she could just see that she has the ability to continually grow and improve and get better, then she can. But it requires significant effort. And yeah, I agree with you totally. What a waste to have all this fatigue when you could be using yourself in a productive manner.
Well, but some people have got this idea about the establishment MDs that, you know, you have to do what they say. She's on satin drugs. I want her off satin drugs.
Well, that would be the number one drug that causes fatigue. I think you've heard me say this in the past, but I'll say it again for the sake of everyone listening. If you want to develop adult onset type 2 diabetes, then there's a pretty good way of doing it. Take a statin drug for 7 years and bam, you're going to have diabetes. But it's probably one of the greatest fatigue-producing drugs of all time.
Well,
but you're still trying to encourage her. Way to go, man. You're doing great.
Well, she's a great person. She's a good person. And I wouldn't take anything away from her that way. Anyway,
Is her name Johnny Deer?
What?
Well, you said she grew up on a tractor. I just want to know if her name was Johnny Deere.
John Deere.
Yeah.
You know what? You hit that a lot closer than I'm afraid to say.
Well, then don't say it.
her dad named her a boy's name because it was his second daughter, and he wanted a son. Finally, she had a son, and that was his boy. But anyway.
Well, that's just great, though. I'm sure she's a wonderful person. I'd love to meet her one day.
I got one little other question for you, and that is, I just started listening to you not too many weeks before. I heard you say that, mercy, I can't think of the name of it now, this oil that could burn a hole in your stomach, oregano. Oregano.
Oh, yeah, that would do it.
Well, I was having sinus problems so bad. In fact, I had a sinus infection, I'm sure. And I went to a health food store and I got this, you know, bottle of, it had oregano oil in it with, you know, sea salt water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it just cleared up that sinus infection like crazy. But I haven't used it since I heard you say that.
You can use it in small amounts. I was just trying to say that if you use too much of it, you're asking for it.
Okay. I didn't want
You did it exactly the right way, just very small amounts. But thank you so much for your phone call, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Let me say, just, I know you're about to go.
Well, I'm completely out of time. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, buddy. Bye-bye. Bye. All right, you're listening to Health Essentials on KBJS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, and Longview.